You may be seated. My brother David Arthur is going to come tell you a little bit about what's going on with him and his ministry, give you an update. Would you give David a hand? Because he's a long time.
Good morning. Well, actually, afternoon. But I promise I will not keep you long, but I just wanted to give you a tiny update of what's happening in our life and in our ministries. If you do not know me, I'm David Arthur. I'm celebrating this year 40 years of being a member of Maranatha Fellowship.
Wow.
And this was my home. I grew up in Africa as a missionary kid. My grandmother came to fetch me in 1979 and bring me back to the States. My parents were not coming back for 3 more years, and they said, see ya, you know, have fun. Here's your grandmother, she's taking you home. I'd grown up totally in Africa. I was born in PG County. I lived here 2 years, but I had to make a home, and this became my home. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, Pastor Ross, Miss Susan, and many other people made me feel at home. I was baptized here, became a preacher. Well, I tried to become a preacher here, but instead I became a Bible translator.
Good for you.
And so Sherry and I have been working in the... I tried to preach, it doesn't work.
No, it's fine.
I'm still a member. I'm not tithing here, and I do get those letters from you. I know, you know, I'm up to $122,562 that I owe you in back tithe. But please stop sending the emails. Talk to you. No, Sherry and I are now based in North Carolina. We live in Raleigh. We attend the church with our brother, Emmanuel Robinson.
Hey!
Hallelujah. And I hear he preached this morning. I want to look up the podcast and watch it. He preached this morning there. It's a great church, and Emmanuel's doing wonderful things to shake us up. It's great.
Amen.
Because he's on stage every Sunday morning praying and doing other stuff. It's fantastic. Sherry and I are working in the area of Bible translation. When we started out, the whole idea was you will be the Bible translator for this group, and you go there and learn their language and learn all this stuff and do it. It's changed now totally. So, in a nutshell, when we first started out 30-some years ago, one person, often an American with education, would go to another country somewhere in the world, learn this other culture, learn their language, take years and years and years and years until you finally learned that language and produced it, the translation. Now, we finally got our heads together and we train local people to do the job. And it's fantastic. So I'm working with 6 different language groups now. They're up in Northeast India in a place called Nagaland. And also many of them are in the country of Burma, just right next to India there. And so I'm there several times a year. And I'm based in North Carolina, but most of the time, about 4 months of the year, I'm in India working with our teams there. I really need your prayers. If you know, the Prime Minister of India right now is a Hindu. A very radical Hindu, and he does not like Christianity coming into the country. And many of the people that I work with, their ministry visas have been revoked. They will go to the airport here, they will fly to Delhi or somewhere, they would stand before the immigration man, and he would just throw them back out, even with a valid visa. So they're really cracking down on Christians, on Christian activity. So please pray that the Lord would continue to allow me to go there and work with my people. So, what I'm doing is working alongside the Bible translators. A lot of these people are guys that have a 5th grade, 6th grade education, but they're translating the scriptures for the people. And so this is what's just amazing. We bring people from US, Germany, Australia, other places to that place, and they work alongside these people to help them make sure that their Bibles they're translating it correctly, okay? So, but that's what's kind of neat. We bring in these people with PhDs. You know, you think they'd be real stuffy or whatever, all this stuff. But they would be sitting at these little desks with these guys that have a 5th grade education, just hand in hand working with them as brothers. I mean, it's fantastic. And so they make sure that the translation is going correctly. And I work alongside them. I do many different things. One of the things I do is plumbing. I don't like that. But we bring about 30 people at a time together for a workshop, okay? We have the many different translators who come. We'll have the helpers who come from the U.S. and other places. And we're all there together. And if the toilets don't work, it's a problem. And so we don't have any staff there, and I'm the guy that ends up doing some of this work, which is a real shock to my Indian colleagues, because here this foreigner is coming in, and he's helping to, you know, get the toilets working, and they just can't figure that out. Then I explain to them Ryan General, how I worked for Leo Ryan for many years. And when I finally explain all of that, they go, oh yeah, no problem. So we're accelerating the work. This is the group we just had in February. We bring, as I said, foreigners in, local translators in. We work together, accelerate the work. So this is the Bible translation process. This is what I was telling you about. We have this white fellow from America. He's Dr. Long Deal, PhD, worked in China for many years. He's working alongside Jeremiah. And he's a fellow from Manipur, well, from not a very huge education. Together, they're working to make this thing work. And then, oh yeah, another thing that I'm still doing is, I've shared with you in the past, I take the scriptures that they're producing and put them into apps onto their cell phones. Because even though they live in the jungle with no cell phone service, they still have smartphones. It's crazy, but it works. They come to the town, download stuff, and take it back out to the bush. As we say in Africa, the bush, but in the jungle in Asia. And so I take their scriptures that they've done, help them to condense it, put it on the phone, and help them to use it for their scripture studies. Also, as I said, I work with maintenance, which mortifies my hosts, but it's just too bad. And how many know about Karam? Those of you from India, you know Karam, yes? A Karam is a wonderful game. It's a square board that's kind of like pool in a way. You flick these discs and they knock other discs into little pockets. And it's become a great way for us to build teamwork. We take people from the different translation teams, mix them up on teams, and then, next slide, you see these guys here, they're the Karam winners. One of the guys had never played Karam before in his life, you know? And there's a lot of skill involved. I mean, you got to flick the thing just right. Even I played, but I was killed. I asked them to kill me quickly, because you can play around, like it cool, you can play around with people and lead them on. I said, no, if you're going to kill me, kill me quickly. And they looked at me like, no, you know, you're the foreigner, I'm not supposed to. I said, no, please, kill me, don't worry about it. So that was just another fun. Also, we're working in music video production. This is a fun thing that we do. You know, sometimes when you're in ministry, God lets you do fun things. Now, sometimes the plumbing and sometimes some of the other things are really not fun. They need to be done. Praise God, that's good. But working in music production is just fantastic. My brother is in South Africa. He's a big music producer there. He's got a fancy studio with these huge boards and sliders and stuff. I have a little two-channel mixer, and he makes a lot of fun of me. But we're able to do a lot of stuff in this little studio. This is my little studio in Northeast India. And this is one of the teachers that was making a music video. And this is a young lady. Her name is Imbi Kokla. And I want to just share with you a short clip of her music video that she just did. The song You Say by Lauren Daigle, or Daigle, I don't know how you say that. But when I heard that song, I thought of Imbi Kokla, because this girl is amazing. She's got talent. And if we could just get her to America and get her some training, she would be fantastic. But I'm serious, I work with a lot of these young ladies in a local high school. These kids come from villages in the jungle. There's no running water, there's no electricity in their place. And now they come to us, oh, and here she is singing for us, thanks. Again, these girls are coming from these places in the jungle. No running water, no electricity, whatever. Now, they're on a YouTube channel being beamed around the world. I mean, this is just crazy. And it's a neat thing, mostly for the girls themselves. We're just looking to help them build confidence, build self-confidence, and show them what God can do through them. Because, you know, often these girls in these cultures are very mousy, you know, like they're put down. They're there just to become breeders later on and get married, you know. They're not really there for education or anything. So really trying to lift them up and help them see you can do something for the Lord. And that's exciting. Finally, I close with this. As our Bible translators are producing scriptures, as the foreign consultants come in and check the scriptures, make sure they're correct, then we're ready to record them to audio. Because in these groups, up to 7 out of 10 people cannot read in these language groups. So to give them the written scripture is not going to help them that much. And so we help them now to record the scriptures. And I just want to share, this was a recording that happened in February. This fellow's name is Kina. He's on the right. He's a translator for the Oromo people. And he's listening to his recording of the Book of Mark, his first book that they've ever recorded, and he's listening to it for the first time. So when you can, just play that video. Thanks. So how do you feel, Mr. Kina?
I'm very emotional.
I'm sure. How does it feel to come all this way?
This is wonderful in our lives. I've been spending 10 years old to do translation, but I forget. When I heard the voice, it was very special. I believe that all of people said through this message. Thank you, Brother Sunil. And I tell you, EPT, to save Olo's life in heaven.
This guy's been working over 10 years on the Bible translation. He hears it for the first time and he's in tears. He's just weeping, you know? And this is the translator. So you can imagine the effect it could have on people's lives. Just like it does on pastor's life as he's listening. I also like to listen to the scriptures on that daily thing. It's wonderful. And these people will be hearing it for the first time. And now, even better than that, we have the Book of Mark for them is now on a movie. Faith Comes by Hearing, which is a group in America, has a movie of the entire Book of Mark. And they've taken that recording of the Book of Mark, plugged it in at certain time markers where different chapters happen. And now the people can listen and watch the Bible unfold for them in their own language. And that is powerful stuff. And so I just want to praise the Lord. This is only one language and only one book of that one language. We have six languages. So winding it up, what do I need from you? I need you to pray for us, please. We've got these things that are happening and we need more help, okay? And again, I need to train local people. I don't need more of me to go over there. I need to train local people. And I need you to pray that the Lord will provide the people, that they will be there and ready to be trained, and we can get them doing all the recordings that I'm needing to do myself right now. So just please pray for that. Pray that we will be protected. Again, our visa will be protected. We can actually get in the country. But pray it again that we get local people in place. That's our dream. That's our vision. And just thank you so much for your prayers behind us all these years. It's because of your prayers of you and other people that we're able to do this. So thanks again, Pastor Ben, and I appreciate your time.
Let's pray now. There's nothing stopping us from praying right now. This is Maranatha Fellowship, and we believe in prayer. Will you stand as we prepare to close in worship, but also to pray for my brother? Father, you hear all of the needs. He has enumerated every one of them. God, we pray for favor. We pray for favor with governments. We pray for favor with people. We pray, God, for workers in the field. We need folks whose hearts and minds are changed by your word and by your love to come alongside this and help move this forward. God, what an incredible thing. People hearing the scripture for the first time, the life-changing, soul-saving scripture, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are so grateful. God, if nothing else, we can be a part of it through supporting this man and his wife and their family and all of these folks through prayer. So, Father, we are asking for protection and provision. We ask for abundance, God. We ask for a move of the Spirit in these countries and in the lives of these people. We pray blessings on all of these people who are working tirelessly to cause your word to become known just in the language of these people, God. We pray for salvations. We pray for a revelation and a revolution in these countries where your word is being heard for the first time. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we ask in every way, shape, and form that you would bless David, bless Sherry, and bless their ministry in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.